Okay, good morning, Isaac. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great, thank you.
Okay, good. Welcome, everybody. Paddling Isaac Johnson, Take the Word for It. This is the show where we take relevant issues that are going on in the world today and try to help you bring biblical perspective to them. And so we're glad that you're here with us today. And Isaac, today we're going to talk about, well, actually, we're spending this whole season talking about marriage, this, you know, huge thing in people's lives, huge part of our lives. And certainly, if you've been married for any length of time or even dating, you realize that what you say has a pretty significant impact on how things go. So in this episode, we're talking about saying the mean things that you need to say to somebody else in a nicer way. What do you mean by that? Saying the mean things nicer.
Well, it's the idea that, you know, negative things have to be said. You can't just ignore something. I mean, you're going to live with somebody that's going to frustrate you. And so whatever you don't say builds up. You know, and then, you know, Mr. Rogers said, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. So if we say it out loud, we can talk through it. But how do we do that in a way that's not so mean? Because what we tend to do is wait till it builds up and then we say it and it comes out so harshly that they're not hearing our words. They're hearing our delivery. So we don't want our delivery to drown out our message.
Wow. Now, I love the wisdom that you bring to our show, you know, and even into my marriage, and I know lots of other marriages, because most of your career you've been a marriage and family counselor, and now mm-hmm. you're in a pastoral role, and I've been a pastor for most of my career, and so it's been interesting to me as we've done the show, you know, and as you and I have developed a relationship over the years, the wisdom that there is in and the value that there is in recognizing the way that you speak to people and how that comes across, certainly, you know, and the Bible speaks tons into this. We'll get to that in a second, but I wanted to start, I was trying to think as we're preparing for this show. Okay. You know, practical application or practical idea. Is there something for my marriage currently, you know, that I could share where we had to say a mean thing nicely to each other? And I decided, no, there isn't anything that I want to record right now and put on here. As a matter of fact, my wife and I had a conflict last night, and one of the things that you've always talked about is doing conflict better, because it doesn't end, right? And so right. You meet a you know, man, I know a couple that's just awesome that are in their 90s that live here in the town that I'm at, and you know, they've been married for over 50 years, and you ask them things like, how you do it, and they just say, well, we just get along. And I'm like, how did you just get along for 50 right. years? You know, like, how did that happen? Like, there was never any conflict, you know, kind of a deal. And they're just so sweet that I don't know that I ever got to that point of the conversation with them, but I know that we all can put our foot in our mouths. So I personally, I guess the more you speak, the more opportunity you have to put your foot in your mouth. And man, I remember this has nothing even to do with saying a mean thing nicely, because that's so hard to think about. It's like, you know, the old adage, you know, does what I'm wearing make me look fat? And, you know, it's either no, or, you know, if you've seen some comedies, they're like, no, you make you look fat. You know, but how do you say that nicely? But I remember putting my foot in my mouth so big, and I've shared this a few times, I think. One, maybe not on this show, but when I was in college, there was a young lady that worked at a bank, and I liked her. So I would deliberately find ways to go to the bank, you know, to deposit like a dollar, because I had a dollar, and, you know, or whatever. And I remember after one summer, in the springtime I had been there, and the woman that she worked with was pregnant and getting ready to have a baby, you know, at the counter. And she wasn't literally going to have her baby at the counter, but she worked at the counter. And And I remember coming back in the fall, and there was a huge line of people, and I got to the front of the line, and I said, "Oh, when's that baby, you know, going to arrive?" And she said, "I had my baby 3 months ago, you know." And I turned around and, you know, looked in the line, and the eyeballs, the looks of death from the women behind me were significant. And so, you know, that's possible anywhere. Certainly in our marriage, it's possible to put your foot in your mouth and have to figure out how to dig out. And that's not something you want to do when you are trying to communicate something that's bothering you in a nice way.
Right.
So a couple ideas from the Bible here before we get into the aspect of, you know, what we've been talking about and how what you say, you know, excuse me, how you say something makes a difference in how it comes across to someone else. But a couple things biblically and just some truths. And I actually got online and looked up an article and found an article by Brent McDougall. And I'm like, you know what, Brent, this is some good ideas right on here. And so the first thing that he says is to listen to the other person before you speak, right? And the idea that Ecclesiastes 3:7, it teaches us that there's time to remain silent and a time to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that it's the right time to actually have something come out of your mouth and that you've totally listened to the other person before you go. And the second one was out of Psalm 19:14. Says, you know, the idea of checking yourself and what your motivations are. Are you, and I would suppose it'd be really important if you're trying to say something hard, are you saying it because it's offensive to you and you're angry about it and you know you're bruised from last week, and but what's coming out of you is just vomit, you know, you're vomiting hurt and hate, or are you saying it because it needs to be dealt with and it's coming from a place of love?
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that there's a pretty significant difference between those two things. He also says to watch your words, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:26. The idea that it's okay to be angry, but not to sin in your anger. So I know there have been times in my marriage when I've been angry with my wife and that the things that could have come out of my mouth would be more hurtful or add hurt to what we were talking about. And that's not something that you want to do. So don't be afraid to speak the truth, but actually doing it in love.
Right.
And then his last two are just these, like, hey, pray before, during, and after the conversation, right? Like in the middle mm-hmm. of it, it's okay to have God in the middle of it. And the last one is to trust God and that his truth is going to come through you. And so Romans 8, there's some good advice on that. But I wanted, and actually Ephesians 3:20 has some as well. And so wanted to just ask you a few questions on the topic as we're going through this. Why is it important, Isaac, for us to be able to share negative things with our spouse? Why can't we just hide the negative things?
Well, for one, we're just negative creatures, so we always have to remember that 80% of our thoughts are negative. So, you know, that's what we have to work with. And then the other part is that, you know, not everything that's communicated is going to be positive. It would be unrealistic. In fact, your partner would not even feel loved if all you said was the positive things. They would just be like, you're not sincere. And we hear that from people all the time. Like, I didn't like what you said, but I appreciate that you were honest. And so to have credibility in marriage, you know, you want to be able to share hard truths with one another. And like the old thing is like, if your wife asks you, does this outfit look good on me or not? It kind of feels like a trap, but if you just are honest with her, she's going to work through that faster. So she's not going to like a negative response, but she's going to work through an honest negative response faster. And then the last thing is we want to do avalanche control. You know, they'll do to keep a big avalanche from happening. Gottman talks about this, where you do these little explosions. And when we learn to say the negative things nicer in marriage, what we're saying is I don't want this little thing to become a big thing. And like research shows that the average couple, when they come to counseling, has been in crisis for 6 years. So by that point, everything feels so intense. It feels so big when it didn't start that way. So being able to get in the habit of just sharing with each other on a regular basis negative things in a kind or kinder way keeps resentment from building, because it's really hard to have resentment if you've already spoken the thing that you're negative about. You know, it's kind of like say, hey, I hate you and for what you did, and now I'm going to even hate you more in my mind. It's like once I've said it out loud, it takes some of the power away from it. And so that's what we really want to do in marriage, because we're in this for life. I don't want things to build. I don't like the effects of the big explosions, because we've all had them.
Sure. Okay. So if saying something negative is unavoidable in marriage, like, hey, I have to do it because it's going to help build our marriage, we need to deal with this thing. What are some ways that I can do it in a nicer way, I guess?
Well, there's some practical things. One is environment matters a lot. Make sure that you have arguments. If you're going to say something that's kind of harsh or whatever, it's not really much about timing. I don't believe in that, because really, when is there a good time to hear bad news?
Sure.
It's more about environment. And like, if you're, all of your best fights are happening in the kitchen, don't have that conversation in the kitchen. Or if you're, do your best fights at night in bed, don't have that conversation. Go somewhere that's neutral, where your brain has no preconceived connection to negative things already. That puts you in a calmer place. Take a walk, go in a restaurant, whatever it is that you know that both of you can be neutral. So that's the first thing. Second thing is your beginning is most important. So research shows that we have about 3 minutes when we start a conversation to determine whether it's going to go positive or negative, by our tone of voice, first and foremost, and then by our the words that we choose. And we want to use qualifiers where we say things like, I just want you to know up front, this is not an attack. This is not something that I feel like you're doing on purpose. I think that's a big one, letting them know I don't think you're doing this intentionally. Or, this might not even be about you. This might be me misinterpreting. So you're putting that qualifier right off the bat to help let them know. It's kind of like when someone says, oh, I want to talk to you about something tonight. When are you free? If they just leave it at that, you already think it's going to be bad.
Sure.
But if they say, I promise you, it's good. Or I promise you, it's not bad. They give a little qualifier. You're kind of like, oh, okay. I'm still kind of worried, but not as worried. And then our tone, just being soft, you know, just being kind of like just how we are. We want to be smooth in what we say. So tone of voice matters a lot. We don't pick up on body language as well as we think we do, but we do really pick up on tone. And so if you think you're soft, be even softer, you know, make them have to like cause you to raise your voice a little bit. But think of that. I've really had to learn over the years that 3 minutes, and that's not very much time. To do that. And then the third thing is before you even have the conversation, make sure you're good. Because if your heart rate is up, like you talked about motives, if your heart rate's over 100 beats per minute, you ain't going to be speaking good stuff. It's because that's the fight or flight or freeze area in our brain that starts getting activated. And so you're going to be on the defensive or the offensive. So go take a walk, take a shower, whatever you got to do to get your heart rate down, do some deep breathing. And be prepared how you communicate that, because you can't control how they're going to hear it. So those are like those three or four things that you want to do. And then I'm a big believer too, over communicate, give more words, you know, a lot, try to avoid the really quick, too direct kind of thing. Now, I don't like beating around the bush where the other person's like, I'm not even sure what you're talking about anymore. You've been talking for 3 hours, but just, you know, be concise, but also give some extra words. Keep reassuring while you're saying the negative thing.
Okay. I think that's, you know, incredible stuff and super helpful. And let me just ask you then in a way that something we didn't prepare for in this conversation, what about from the other side of that? Like, hey, instead of being the person who's bringing up and saying something, right, what if I'm the person on the other side and, you know, My spouse had come to me and said, "Hey, I'd love to talk to you tonight, you know, and there's something I'd like to deal with." Or they even tried to just say, "It's not all bad. There's some good stuff. I just want to be able to talk about this," or "I love you," you know, and they've thrown out those qualifiers, but instantly, like, my guard is up, right? And maybe constructive criticism. I don't know if it's even qualify that, but maybe that's something that's been hard for me to take, or feeling criticized, or feeling, you know, or having those conversations just in general is hard for me. What are some ways that I can process that to make it a better, you know, a better outcome, or even a productive outcome? Because I would assume that there would be sometimes when these conversations don't go well and it's not productive, no matter how it's presented. Do you see what I'm saying? So how do I, on the other side of that, deal? How do I hear that? How do I process it?
Yeah, I like what one person said. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you hear. And what you hear is what you choose to hear. So if somebody's going to say to you, "Hey, I want to talk to you later," you've got to kind of do a couple things. One, again, you got to go look at the biology. Make sure that you're in a good place mentally. You know, you can say to that person, "This is not a good day. Maybe I've got a lot of things going on, or I'm not going to be a good audience for you. So how about tomorrow?" So be very selective about, is this a good time mentally and emotionally, spiritually for you? And then the second thing is, you know, just being able to tell yourself ahead of time, my partner's for me. So whatever they're going to tell me, it's for our benefit. You know, I don't want to go down that path of just assuming they're going to tear me down, they're out to get me, anything like that. This is for our benefit. And so I have to remember that too. If my wife's going to say something, I want to be thoughtful about it. And I want to know this is going to take our relationship to a better place, because all hard conversations should have a positive outcome if we handle them well. They're going to take us to a deeper place of understanding and maturity, but it's how receptive am I going to be about that? So really just your body, you know, being attentive to where you're at and how well you're going to be able to receive that. And then just also what you're telling yourself, you've got to assume the positive and not just assume that they're out to get you or anything like that. Because you don't want to think that they're the enemy coming to share something with you. That's your wife. That's your husband. They're for you. And this is hard for them too.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. I hope that you have maybe been able to pull something out of this that'll be helpful in your marriage out there. Those of you that are listening, I know I certainly have for my marriage. And just thinking as we are continuing in this series about marriage, couple things that we'd love to touch on. And I know next week, Isaac, that you want to talk about rekindling the romance in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to propose to you, if it's cool, since we want to touch on kind of every aspect of marriage, and something I don't want to skip over is advice for newlyweds or people that are how do you do the first year of marriage well?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe hoping that we could talk about that and then possibly even later on talking about blended families and what that looks like. And so
sure.
What do you think about talking about that first year of marriage next week?
Let's do it. I'm pretty open to anything. So,
all right. That's awesome. Well, it's been Pat Lynn and Isaac Johnson, and we hope that this is helpful to you. And if it is, please, you know, like, share. Pass it on to someone who, you know, maybe you know someone that's struggling in their marriage and conflict is hard, you know. Pass this to them, because wisdom is good and the Word of God is good. And we're thankful for you and just pray that you have a blessed week. And Isaac, thank you so much for you and God bless. Anything for the good of the order you'd like to add, Isaac?
Nope. I would just say, you know, if you find yourself in that kind of negative space this week, which you probably will if you're married, you know, just being able to think, you know, again, I just, that phrase, how do I say it nicer, is you're gonna have to say a lot of mean things unintentionally. And so how do you say those things in a truthful, nice way? It's just kind of that, keep that phrase in mind, and I think you're gonna be more likely to do it well.
All right, everyone be blessed. Thanks, guys. Everyone have a good one.